Ayam Tadati Swabhadam Tikam Nama Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prastaya Bhutale Shrimate Bhakti Vedanta Swamini Tinamine Namaste Saraswati Deve Gauravani Pracharine Nirvishesha Shunyavadi Paschatrade Shatarine Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhar Shivasadi Gaur Bhaktavinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare. Thank you for your nice sharing of thoughts and realizations and narrations of Lord Balaram's pastimes. Very impressed and touched by what everyone said. The understanding of Lord Balaram or any subject in Krishna consciousness can be seen from two angles. One is called tattva, which means, you could say, truth, existential truth or spiritual truth. And the other is rasa, or the mellow relationship. So in terms of tattva, Krishna is the original personality of Godhead. He is the origin of everything. In the Bhagavad Gita, he says, Aham sarvasya prabhavo mata sarvam pravartate. That I am the origin of everything, and from me everything emanates. And in Srimad Bhagavatam, there is a list of various incarnations of Krishna. And at the end of the list, the Bhagavatam explains that all of the above mentioned personalities are portions, plenary portions, or portions of plenary portions of Krishna. But Krishna stu Bhagavan Swayam, Krishna is the original personality of Godhead. And in the Brahma Samhita also, it is explained that just as from one candle you can light a second candle, and from the second candle you can light a third candle, and so on, and they all are of the same candle power, but still there's one original candle. And in the same way, the Godhead, Krishna, expands himself to Balaram, Balaram expands himself, and so on. But still there's one original personality of Godhead, and that is Krishna. Now, whenever Krishna appears on earth, Balaram accompanies him in some form. And in when Krishna came as Ramachandra, Balaram came as Lakshman. And as Lakshman, he was Rama's younger brother. And being the younger brother, he had to obey the older brother's orders. And in Ramlila, Lakshman was compelled to do many things that he did not want to do. One of the most difficult things, there were many, but one of the most difficult things was after Rama had defeated Ravana and rescued Sita, Lord Ramachandra was not prepared to take her back because he said that she had, you know, spent the night with another man, and therefore she was not worthy of being accepted back. And he said that he did not fight this battle for the sake of regaining Sita, but he fought it for the sake of upholding the prestige of his family's dynasty. And at that time, he ordered, there was going to be a test of Sita's chastity, and he ordered Lakshman to prepare this fire. And the idea was that Sita Devi would enter into the fire, and if she was unchaste, she would be consumed by the flames of the fire, and if she was chaste, she would emerge. So Sita, being, of course, the universal mother and also the wife of the older brother, was worshipable for Lakshman. So it was a very difficult and painful instruction for him to follow, to convey this information to her and to actually, you know, prepare the fire and light the fire. And there are many other such incidents. So within himself, Lakshman resolved that I'm never going to appear as the younger brother again. I'm being compelled to do too many painful acts, and I'm never going to appear as the younger brother again. So although he is the expansion of Krishna, Krishna is the original, but in terms of rasa, he didn't want to be the younger brother. And so, yes, as Balaram, he's the older brother. As Nityananda, Prabhu, he's also the older brother. And as Swarup Damodar Prabhu explained, that Lord Balaram is so eager to serve Krishna in every respect, and to relish that mellow taste of service to Krishna in different relationships. So as Ananta Shesh, he expands himself into all of Krishna's paraphernalia, into the land of Vrindavan, And as a brother, sometimes he would be in the mood of service. Of course, it was reciprocal, but sometimes he would be like a servant. And fan Krishna, and massage Krishna, and serve Krishna that way. And then friend, that's their primary relationship. And then being the older brother, there would be an element of parental affection or parental care. And then, yes, Madhurya Rasa, of course, that cannot be done in a male form, and so he expanded himself in the form of a Nanga Manjari, who appears as the younger sister of Srimati Radharani. But there's always a competition, because everyone wants to serve and give pleasure to others. I mean, in the pure state of consciousness, everyone wants to serve and give pleasure to others. In the contaminated state, we want to be served. We want people to please our senses. But in the pure state, in the natural state, in our original consciousness, we want to serve and give pleasure to others. And that also applies to Krishna and Balaram. In fact, they're the first beings, and they also exhibit that tendency. So I thought of reading a few verses from the 10th canto, which describe the beautiful life in Vrindavan, and also the sweet exchanges between Krishna and Balaram. And different devotees have told different pastimes and drawn out lessons for us from those pastimes that we can apply in our own lives. And there are many lessons in this, and part of it is how to be friends. So this is chapter 15, which is, you know, the killing of Dhenuka, the ass demon. And as Kunti Devi explained, this demon is killed by Lord Balaram. And he's like ignorant. Asses are ignorant. And asses also, they carry burdens needlessly. I don't know if you've seen in India, but actually they do. I don't know if I've seen it recently, but I have seen them. They carry these huge bundles of laundry on their backs. And Srila Prabhupada explains they're so foolish that they carry this huge, heavy burden, so that at the end of the day they get a few morsels of grass. But grass is growing everywhere. They don't have to carry that huge burden to get a few morsels of grass, but they're so foolish they think that if they don't, they won't get their morsels of grass. So Dhenukasura, he also exemplifies these false burdens that we carry with us for no good purpose. And part of being relieved of our ignorance is being relieved of these false self-imposed burdens of responsibility or whatever. So this chapter 15 of the 10th canto is very significant, because in this chapter Krishna and Balaram reach the stage of Pogandha. They pass through three stages or ages in Vrindavan. First is Kumar. Kumar is like a small child, say up until the age of five. And up until the age of five, they're not really given charge of the cows, but they assist the elders, but they don't have any, they basically stay around the house. But when they reach the Pogandha age, they are allowed to go out with the cows, go out into the Vrindavan forest. And this is a very significant event, because leaving the Vrindavan village and going into the Vrindavan forest or to Govardhan in different places creates a whole new dynamic of separation, which is very central to the relishing of rasa. And so when they would be in the Vrindavan village, you know, Nanda and Yashoda and the elders of the village would have their association. And then when Krishna and Balaram would go out with the cows, then they would be in separation. But their boyfriends would have their association. And back home, their boyfriends would be in their houses, and Krishna would be in his house, so they would be separated. And this was really when they started to go into the Vrindavan forest. Earlier they were in Gokul, and so this chapter, this stage of life is very important because it introduces Vrindavan. So I will just read the verses for the sake of time. So text one, although the Sanskrit is also very beautiful. Shukadeva Goswami said, when Lord Rama and Lord Krishna attained the age of Pogandha, 6 to 10, while living in Vrindavan, the cowherd men allowed them to take up the task of tending the cows. Thus, engaging in the company of their friends, the two boys rendered the land of Vrindavan most auspicious by imprinting upon it the marks of their lotus feet. So this is a very significant event, and it's celebrated in on the Vaishnava calendar as Gopastami. It's the day on which Krishna and Balaram were given the charge of the cows. Thus, desiring to enjoy pastimes, Lord Madhava, sounding his flute, surrounded by cowherd boys who were chanting his glories, and accompanied by Lord Baladev, kept the cows before him and entered the Vrindavan forest, which was full of flowers and rich with nourishment for the animals. The Supreme Personality of Godhead looked over that forest, which resounded with the charming sounds of bees, animals, and birds, and which was enhanced by a lake whose clear water resembled the minds of great souls, and by a breeze carrying the fragrance of 100-petaled lotuses. Seeing all this, Lord Krishna decided to enjoy the transcendental atmosphere. The primeval Lord saw that the stately trees, with their beautiful reddish buds and their heavy burden of fruits and flowers, were bending down to touch his feet with the tips of their branches. Thus he smiled gently and addressed his elder brother. The Supreme Personality of Godhead said, "O greatest of lords, just see how these trees are bowing their heads at your lotus feet, which are worshipable by the immortal demigods. The trees are offering you their fruits and flowers to eradicate the dark ignorance that has caused their birth as trees. O original personality, these bees must all be great sages and most elevated devotees of yours, for they are worshipping you by following you along the path and chanting your glories, which are themselves a holy place for the entire world. Though you have disguised yourself within this forest, O sinless one, they refuse to abandon you, their worshipable Lord." In other words, Krishna is saying that these bees are so attached to Lord Balaram that they don't want to give up his company. And so they assume the form of bees and hover around Lord Balaram's flower garland, and thus they're able to be with him all the time. "O worshipable one, these peacocks are dancing before you out of joy. These does are pleasing you with affectionate glances, just as the gopis do. And these cuckoos are honoring you with Vedic prayers. All these residents of the forest are most fortunate, and their behavior toward you certainly befits great souls receiving another great soul at home." So, and then it describes how Krishna and Balaram would play in the forest, and sometimes they would mock fight, sometimes when Krishna would feel tired, he would lie down and accept the laps of one of the cowherd boys as his pillow, and what was that. But in Chaitanya Leela, Lord Balaram appears as Nityananda Prabhu. Significantly before Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, and it's described that he left home, he visited the holy places, just as Lord Balaram visited the holy places. But although he was competent to propagate the Sankirtan movement and to distribute the holy name and deliver the fallen souls, he did not do so. In fact, none of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's associates did so without his order. So although Nityananda Prabhu was competent to do so, he waited in Vrindavan until Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was ready to begin the Sankirtan movement. For the first you know, maybe 20 years of Mahaprabhu's manifest pastimes, he played the part of a scholar, but not really a devotee. Not fully as a devotee. And then when he went to Gaya and took initiation from Srila Ishwarapuri, he manifested, ecstatic love of Godhead. And when he came back to Navadvip, he began the Sankirtan movement. So Nityananda Prabhu, he was just waiting for this occasion. And when he got the news that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu had inaugurated the Sankirtan movement, he came from Vrindavan to Mayapur. And when he and Chaitanya Mahaprabhu met, Nityananda, well, they both were overwhelmed with ecstatic love, and Nityananda just could not be contained in his ecstasy. He kept like crashing to the ground and trembling, and his hairs were standing on end, and you know, people were afraid he was going to hurt himself, and no one could contain him. Until Chaitanya Mahaprabhu personally lifted him up in his arms, and then Nityananda Prabhu became pacified. And so the author of Sri Chaitanya Bhagavat explains that although Nityananda Prabhu always wanted to serve Chaitanya Mahaprabhu in every respect, and he supports him. I mean, as Ananta Shesh, he supports all the universes on his head. But he had to give up his position of service to Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, and the roles were reversed, and Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was holding him up. So, yeah, they had many pastimes together, but definitely one principle that is demonstrated again and again and enunciated again and again is that, you know, only by the mercy of Nityananda Prabhu can one understand Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. In fact, Srila Prabhupada, but these principles are really enunciated again and again in different places. And in one talk in Los Angeles, Srila Prabhupada summed it up in a very nice way. And he said that in order to approach Radha and Krishna, one must get the mercy of Lord Chaitanya. And in order to get the mercy of Lord Chaitanya, one must get the mercy of Lord Nityananda. And to get the mercy of Lord Nityananda, one must approach people like Jagai and Madha, who are like the most sinful living beings. That's how we get Nityananda Prabhu's mercy. And Srila Prabhupada was such a person. No one in the history approached, you know, as Srila Prabhupada himself said, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and Nityananda Prabhu delivered one Jagai and Madhai, but we have delivered thousands. find our grace. So this is extraordinary. One, you know, very nice devotee in Mumbai. You know, very, very pious and sweet and generous, named Krishna Chandra Das, Rishikesh Mahapatla. He said that he feels everyone should see the films of Srila Prabhupada preaching in America in the early days. Because he said people cannot comprehend who Srila Prabhupada was dealing with. You know, I guess even seeing the films, it might be difficult, but you can get a sense of how wild those people were and how degraded they were. And Srila Prabhupada, in that mood of Nityananda Prabhu, just like accepting everyone, welcoming everyone, embracing everyone. There was one incident in Bombay when one devotee was really, you could say, doing some very strange things. And so Tamalakrishna Goswami was sort of advising Srila Prabhupada that he should reject him, that this person is giving us a very bad name because of his peculiar activities and association. And so he's saying, you know, you should reject him. And Srila Prabhupada said, no, I cannot reject anyone. And Tamalakrishna Goswami said, well, you know, don't you have to draw the line somewhere? You know, isn't there some limit? And Srila Prabhupada replied, the mercy of Lord Nityananda has no limit. So so Srila Prabhupada is really the true representative of Nityananda Prabhu. And Nityananda Prabhu demonstrated in it, and there are statements to that effect, that there's no limit to Lord Nityananda's mercy. There's one little story that I sometimes tell, because in Chaitanya Charitamrita it says that Krishna and Balaram are the same in every respect. The only difference is that is in their bodily features, that Krishna is blackish and Balaram is whitish. So one year at the Ardha Kumbh Mela, Yamuna Devi and Madhavisa Prabhu were discussing this point. And Madhavisa Prabhu said that, you know, that there's no difference between Krishna and Balaram, just Krishna's black and Balaram's white. And Yamuna Devi said, no, there is a difference, because Krishna is the only enjoyer of Radharani. So they were arguing, and so Tamalakrishna Goswami brought the matter to Srila Prabhupada, and he said that, you know, that Madhavisa Prabhu said that Krishna and Balaram are the same, except that Krishna is blackish and Balaram is whitish. And Prabhupada said, yes, he's right. And then Jamakrishna Goswami said, but Yamuna Devi says that there isn't a difference because Krishna is the only enjoyer of Radharani. And Srila Prabhupada said, yes, she's right. Oh, Jamakrishna Goswami said, but they're saying different things. They can't both be right. And Srila Prabhupada said, yes, you are also right. So Jamakrishna Goswami said, well then who is right? And Srila Prabhupada said, you decide. So this is like, you know, Achintya Veda Ved Tattva means simultaneously inconceivably one and different. So from a certain angle, they're the same, and from a certain angle, they're different. And both are true. So this is certainly a special day, very special day. And a good day to pray for Lord Balaram's mercy. As he served Krishna in so many different ways, and someone also mentioned in whatever way we want to serve, we can pray to Lord Balaram because he also serves in every possible way. And apart from the external features of the service, there's the mood of the service, which is really most important. So, you know, to pray to serve without, you know, any false ego and, you know, ulterior motives, but just, you know, with a pure heart to please Krishna and the devotees. Hare Krishna. Shri Shri Krishna Balaram Ki Jai. Any comments or questions? Yes, Ravasi Mataji. Well, he did say that he felt that the young men and women who came forward to serve him were sent by his Guru Maharaj. He did say that. But he said something else, which is, something to consider. And he said that the spiritual master is an ocean of mercy and he will never reject anyone. But Krishna, out of love for the spiritual master, may not want the spiritual master to be, you know, burdened by or disturbed by some disciple. And Krishna, from within the heart, may send that person away. But that doesn't negate what you said. Not at all. I mean, you know, Prabhupada would definitely want everyone to come back. And he really would do, you know, he really felt it if someone left. He really felt it and would always want them to come back. And so often was able to, would like offer, like if someone left, I don't remember the exact details, you know, like someone I guess it was hurt that Prabhupada didn't give them a certain position or a certain service and they left. And so Prabhupada wrote, like, you know, I'm sorry you left on account of this, and, you know, like, whatever you want, you know, you can have. And, sometimes Prabhupada would take a very humble position to try to save a soul. Any other questions or comments? That's Shamananda for me.
I was thinking about the dealings of Balaram with Duryodhana. Notice he's been quite favorable to Duryodhana. Duryodhana was in the parliament, he was a demon in his previous life, in the last year of the day. And he received so much association with Balaram. But yet he didn't, you know, Balaram being the Adi Guru, and he had the association of the Adi Guru, yet he didn't change his hatred towards the Pandavas. So I was wondering, is it that offense against the Pandavas that ultimately led to his demise, that he didn't change even with the association of the Adi Guru and the personality of God? And I was wondering, by the association of the Lord, did he take birth again in Goda Lila and in Delhi? He must receive something. Yeah, this is Lord Balaram, that he has so much affection for him. He was even willing to give Mother
Subhadra. Yes, that's true, Lord Balaram. Did have, you know, some affection for Duryodhana. And sometimes it happens that someone is inimical to someone who's very dear to us, but not inimical to us. And they may treat us very nicely, even though they might be very mean to someone who's dear to us. And so, you know, one has to sort of reciprocate with the person as the person deals with you, up to an extent at least. But ultimately, because Duryodhana was envious of Krishna and the Pandavas, he couldn't get the real benefit of Lord Balaram's association. And that's really the critical point, is envy. You know, I haven't read anywhere about Duryodhana in his next life. But yeah, if one is envious and commits offenses against devotees, then no one can save him. That's also in Chaitanya Bhagavat. I mean, although Nityananda Prabhu and Chaitanya Mahaprabhu are so merciful, but they will not give their mercy to someone who is offensive to Vaishnavas. You know, there is one occasion when Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was like giving mercy to everyone. You know, giving love of Krishna to everyone. But not to Mother Sachi. And so the devotee said, you know, what about your mother, Sachi? No, I will not give her. I will not give her. She is offended of Vaishnava. So like when the devotees heard this, it struck their hearts like thunderbolts, you know. Like, And I said, how could she offend a Vaishnava? She said, she has offended a Dvaitacharya. So, what was that offense? The offense was, if you call it an offense, but the offense was that when Vishwambar's younger brother, Vishwaroop, was of school age, he would go to a Dvaitacharya's house and study the scripture with him. And eventually, Vishwaroop left home and took sannyas. So Sachi had some feeling in her heart that it's because of a Dvaita that Vishwaroop left home and took sannyas. And she was even afraid the same thing might happen with Vishwambar. So, what will redeem her? You know, what will redeem her? So it's like if she takes the dust of the feet of a Dvaitacharya, then she can be relieved of her offense. So this news was conveyed to a Dvaitacharya, and it was like, you know, thunderbolts on his heart. He said, she has carried the Lord within her womb. You know, she's the universal mother. She's devotion personified, and, you know. So, hearing this, a Dvaitacharya fainted, like in ecstasy. He fainted. So all the devotees said to Sachi, okay, now's your chance. You know, he will never let you take the dust of his feet, but now he's like not in external consciousness. Now's your chance. So she took the dust. And she went into total ecstatic love, and she fainted. And they were like everyone was just merged in this ocean of ecstatic love. But Chaitanya Mahaprabhu made the point, you know, that it doesn't matter who you are, you know, if you offend a Vaishnava, you cannot, he will not give you love of Krishna, which means you cannot get love of Krishna. So there are many, many incidents and many instructions. And after Jagai and Madhai were delivered, so people couldn't believe, you know, that they were really purified. And you know, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu wanted them to be accepted amongst his devotees. So that night, he had Harinam Sankirtan at Srivas Thakur's home as usual. But he invited Jagai and Madhai, and no one was allowed in those kirtans except the inner circle of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And during that kirtan, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's body turned black. And he was accepting the sinful reactions for all the sins that Jagai and Madhai had committed. And they'd done everything. And, my body. I've accepted all the sinful reactions of Jagai and Madhai. And now they're completely pure. And the devotees, now they're like so ecstatic. They're looking at him and say, oh, you look like Shyam Sundar now. And then, so then Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said, but now what am I going to do with all these sinful reactions? I'm going to place them on those who offend Vaishnavas. I'm going to distribute all of these sinful reactions on the people who offend Vaishnavas. So this is like a really important theme. Of course, the positive is to serve Vaishnavas and the negative is not to offend them. And when Chaitanya Mahaprabhu returned from Gaya after being initiated by Ishwara Puri and was in that ecstatic mood as a devotee, he would serve the Vaishnavas. He felt it was because of the blessings of all the Vaishnavas that he had gotten that mercy in Gaya Dham. And he would go to the banks of the Ganges, and you know, he would just serve the Vaishnavas in all sorts of menial ways. You know, he would fold their cloth, and if they had like heavy burdens to carry, he would carry their loads for them. And he would do like every kind of menial service to the Vaishnavas. Like really exemplary. So, yeah, serving the Vaishnavas and especially not offending them. But generally, the Vaishnavas, they don't take offense for themselves. You know, they don't. Like Haridas Thakur, after he was like beaten and I mean, he should have died after one or two or at most three. But when he came, you know, when he eventually came out of the river and came to Puglia, so he told the devotees, you know, don't feel bad for what happened to me. Actually, I deserve worse. Because when I was in the court of the Mohammedan, the Nawab, I had to listen to so much blasphemy of the Lord and the devotees. And for that offense of listening to that blasphemy, I should have, I actually should have been punished more. I mean, this was a just punishment. You know, so don't feel bad for what happened. So, yeah, hearing it is also this offense. We're prohibited from hearing blasphemy also. Okay. We can take one more.
So you were saying envy that Duryodhana has. So even the association of the guru hasn't changed the envy in his heart. I was wondering how does one then fight for that? Because when you're chanting the Lord's holiness, we actually associate it with the Lord. The envy seems so strong.
Well, that is a very good question, how to become free from envy. Because envy is what brings us into the material world in the first place. And it's what keeps us here. And if we become free from it, then we're not in the material world anymore. We're liberated. I don't know of any maybe we can throw this question, open this question to to the other devotees, because I have not heard of any magical, like simple, immediate magical formula. Yeah, I mean preaching definitely helps. There's different aspects to envy, but not preaching is considered a manifestation of envy. And, you know, Srila Prabhupada said, if you have knowledge and if you don't share it with others, then you become envious. It's like you want to, indirectly, you're like keeping them down. You're not giving them a chance, so in a way it's envy. Preaching means you want to give them the chance. You want to help them. You want to give everyone a chance. So it's very purifying to the heart. Very purifying to the heart. So I think just keep, preaching. Keep preaching. And chanting. Of course, to preach, you have to practice. So preaching means practicing. Yeah. Thank you. Srila Prabhupada ki jai, Shri Shri Gaurantai ki jai, Shri Krishna Balaram ki jai, Gaur Bhaktavinda ki jai.